I'm Barbara Cusack. The longtime political confidant of Donald Trump had his prison sentence commuted by the president. The action comes just days before Roger Stone was to report to prison after being convicted of lying under oath to lawmakers investigating Russian interference in the 2016 election. Congressman Adam Schiff told MSNBC's Rachel Maddow show, once again, Trump's actions illustrate how he views his presidential powers.
What we're seeing today is an appalling overture to people, essentially from the president saying, if you lie for me, you cover up for me, I will reward you. On the other hand, if you are a rat and you cooperate, then like a mafia boss, I will come after you.
Even as coronavirus case numbers, deaths, and hospitalizations rise, President Trump keeps pressuring schools and colleges to open this fall for in-person instruction. Trump took to Twitter saying he's ordering the Treasury Department to re-examine the tax-exempt status of schools that he says provide radical indoctrination. Gilead Science claims its antiviral drug remdesivir continued to show promising signs in the latest round of testing on coronavirus patients, but correspondent Steve Kastenbaum said that they cautioned more testing is needed.
Gilead Science looked at 312 patients who received remdesivir, a relatively small group, and compared them to 818 patients with similar characteristics and disease severity who received just standard care. The company said 7.6% of patients who received remdesivir died, compared to 12.5% who died in the other group. Those who were given the drug also recovered more quickly.
In an effort to return to normalcy, Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom are reopening today, 4 months after being shuttered due to the pandemic, with new rules in place to prevent the spread of COVID-19. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text ENERGY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text NOW and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermal, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ENERGY to 321-321. That's ENERGY to 321-321.
7-Eleven has celebrated July 11th every summer since 2002 as 7-Eleven Day with free Slurpees, but not this year thanks to the coronavirus pandemic.
7-Eleven said it would celebrate its birthday by donating 1 million meals to Feeding America, a national nonprofit. Even though 7-Eleven Day is canceled, there's still a way for many Slurpee fans to get their free fix of the brain-freezing slushie. All 33 million members of the 7 Rewards loyalty app should have already received a coupon in their account for one free medium Slurpee. The coupon was added to accounts on July 1st, so signing up now won't get you that free Slurpee. I'm Bill Michaels.
German soccer club Union Berlin is offering free coronavirus tests for more than 20,000 fans as part of a plan to hold games in a full stadium in September. Each person must test negative, though, for the virus within 24 hours of kickoff and bring confirmation along with a ticket. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Ad sponsored by Open Jar Concepts. Attention, this is an important message for anyone that has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers. The Internal Agency for Research on Cancer warned that overexposure to Roundup and other weed killers may increase the risk of developing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Monsanto, the manufacturer of Roundup, may have known that Roundup and other weed killers were likely linked to organ damage and cancer. This information was hidden from the public as proprietary trade secret since 1981, and Monsanto may have failed to warn of the potential risk of cancer. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer after being exposed to Roundup or other weed killers, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Call us now at 800-414-0152. Our network of attorneys are ready to fight for you. You'll pay nothing unless there's a recovery in your favor. Call now for a free consultation at 800-414-0152. You must protect your legal rights. Call 800-414-0152. Again, 800-414-0152.
WML Traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. So far, things are looking good on the Capitol Beltway throughout Maryland and Virginia. And no delays to report so far on 95 from Aquia Harbor heading in towards Springfield. Though do keep in mind there is a work zone northbound on 95 between the Centerport Parkway and Courthouse Road, and that has a left lane block that is not causing any delays. Also, do keep in mind that in the district, Independence Avenue is closed in both directions between 3rd Street and 14th Street, and that for ongoing demonstrations. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
The heat wave rolls on today, day number 16 in a row with temperatures in the 90s. Expect highs in the lower 90s this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Some isolated showers could pop up between 1 and 7 o'clock. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. For your Sunday, partly cloudy, not quite as humid. Storms possible late, mainly after 7 o'clock, highs in the lower 90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Justin Ho for the Marketplace Minute. The economy is changing so fast, it's hard to keep up.
Another COVID vaccine trial moves
forward. Unemployment figures out today show
Wirecard
that 1.5
is missing $2 billion that it said it had, but now can't.
Give us just a minute of your time, and we'll bring you the latest on what's happening in the economy, three times a day. We'll tell you what you need to know and why it matters, all in 60 seconds. Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute, or find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The Big Hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text ENERGY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ENERGY to 321-321. That's ENERGY to 321-321.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Good Feet Store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Good Feet Store and see what Good Feet Arch Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
Hi, I'm Patrick Fingles, owner of New Look Home Design. We can all use a little easy in our lives. At New Look, we make getting a new roof easy. Getting a contractor to just call you back can be challenging. New Look has a customer service team ready to take your calls and help with your project. No more unreturned phone calls. Find out why over 30,000 homeowners have chosen New Look to do their roof. Paying for your roof has never been easier. Through July 31st, save 50% on all roofing materials and qualify for 5 years interest-free financing. And our price is backed by our price guarantee, where we beat any qualified contractor's estimate. Great customer service, guaranteed low pricing, and interest-free for 5 years? Don't you wish everything in life could be as easy as getting a New Look roof? Call 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300. NewLookHomeDesign.com. While we can't make everything easy, we can make roofing easy.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
the Saturday Morning Update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm glad you've joined us. I'm Rick Fowler. Jeff Wolf is behind the console. Jane Houghton, our producer this morning. And obviously a lot to cover. Now, if you sort of tuned out on a Friday evening, you may have missed the news that Roger Stone's sentence was commuted by President Trump. Obviously, it's caused an uproar among the Democrats, but there are several sides to the story, and we're going to discuss them with John Gizzi and also attorney Jim Trusty this morning, so you'll get the full perspective on that. Roger Stone was speaking last night, and one of the elements to this is there is a coronavirus outbreak at the prison that Roger Stone was scheduled to report to on July 14th in Columbus, Georgia. You may have heard that California is planning to release 8,000 inmates due to coronavirus outbreaks in prisons. So President Trump commutes the sentence. He didn't pardon him. There's a big difference between commuting a sentence and pardoning someone. We'll get into the legal aspects with Jim Trusty. So Trump commutes the sentence. Stone does not go to a coronavirus-infected prison. He is 67 years old, so he's in that target demo for the coronavirus. None of the media outlets, except for one or two, are pointing out that fact. Nobody. I listened to 9.5 minutes of Anderson Cooper, Preet Bharara, and Jeffrey Toobin, the legal geniuses. Not one of them mentioned anything about the health risks of a 67-year-old man going into prison when 8,000 prisoners are being released in California because of coronavirus outbreaks. Now, I'm not necessarily justifying what Roger Stone did or didn't do. I'm simply suggesting that there's more to it than just coronism, which is what the Democrats are claiming this morning. And Roger Stone summed it up this way as he thanked the president.
Thank you for saving my life, because I don't think at my age and in my medical condition I would have survived in a COVID-infested prison.
So again, there are many ways to look at this, and you can feel the way you want to feel about Roger Stone. My simple point is none of the Democrats and none of the mainstream media outlets are mentioning the fact that this guy would have been sentenced to death had he gone to a coronavirus-infested prison at the age of 67. That's the Roger Stone story. And again, we'll get into the political implications for the president with John Gizzi, and we'll get into the legal aspects with Jim Trusty this morning. So we'll have a lot more on this to cover, but that sentence was commuted. The president did announce the decision late Friday, and White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany described Roger Stone as a victim of the Russia hoax that the left and its allies in the media perpetrated for years in an attempt to undermine the Trump presidency. And obviously the congressional Democrats slammed the move, and we'll get into some of that as well later on. Now, that's not all we've got to talk about this morning. There is certainly plenty going on. The president hosted a number of Hispanic community leaders at the White House on Thursday, and it's created a firestorm because one of the Hispanic leaders at the White House said something nice about President Trump. Our president, by the way, is the president of the United States. I think a lot of people seem to forget that when it comes to the attacks on the president consistently. And Goya Foods, their CEO, was at the White House. His name is Bob Unenue. He praised the president when he was at the White House. Now, what people are not pointing out is that Bob Unenue also was at the White House during the Obama administration. So this is what created the firestorm, which has gotten calls for a boycott everyone from failed presidential candidate Julian Castro to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to supermodels to celebrities. Everybody now says boycott Goya Foods simply because the CEO of Goya Foods said this at the White House.
We're all truly blessed at the same time to have a leader like President Trump, who is a builder. And that's what my grandfather did. He came to this country to build, to grow, to prosper. And so we have an incredible builder, and we pray. We pray for our leadership, our president, and we pray for our country that we will continue to prosper and to grow.
And that was just part of his comments at the White House. And he continued to say that they were making a huge donation of a million pounds of food. Goya Foods has been doing things like that to help in the coronavirus issues of people who are faced with starvation. So Goya Foods doing some good things. And the CEO praised the president, and social media is going crazy with it. So the big question is, does he regret what he had to say? Well, this is what he told Fox News.
In 2012, 8 years ago, I was called by Michelle Obama to Tampa. And they were mentioning to launch a My Plate thing, which we put on. It's putting the nutritional pyramid into a plate of portion control. They wanted to approach the African-American community, the Hispanic community, to eat more nutritionally. So they called on us as the most recognized Hispanic brand in the United States, and I went. I went to the White House later, and I introduced in Hispanic Heritage Month President Obama. And so you're allowed to talk good or to praise one president, but you're not allowed, when I was called to be part of this commission to aid in economic and educational prosperity, and you make a positive comment, all of a sudden that's not acceptable. So, you know, I'm not apologizing for saying, and especially if you're called by the President of the United States, you're going to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm busy, no thank you. I didn't say that to the Obamas, and I didn't say that to President Trump.
Well, so you've got pretty much the story there. Used to be a free country, as I recall, but things are changing. Hey, we got a lot more to cover on the Saturday morning update. It's 6:17, time for a check of the traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
An accident now being reported in the Beltway in Chevy Chase on the outer loop at Connecticut Avenue, where the two left lanes are blocked with an accident, so stay to your right and use caution there. Now, in Bethesda, do keep in mind that the Little Falls Parkway is closed in both directions between Massachusetts Avenue and Arlington Road for social distance recreation this weekend. And in Virginia, do watch out for some road work northbound on 95 between the Centerport Parkway and Courthouse Road in the left lane. So far, that not causing any delays. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
The heat wave rolls on today, day number 16 in a row with temperatures in the 90s. Expect highs in the lower 90s this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Some isolated showers could pop up between 1 and 7 o'clock. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. For your Sunday, partly cloudy, not quite as humid. Storms possible late, mainly after 7 o'clock, highs in the lower 90s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
75 degrees in the nation's capital. It is 6:19 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Well, we are in the heat of summer and in the heat of a presidential election. Joe Biden out with his economic plan. And I'm cracking up on this. Remember all of the heat that the First Lady, Melania Trump, took when she came out with her Be Best program? All right, everybody making fun of Be Best. Well, here's Joe Biden introducing Build Back Better.
And folks, it's not sufficient to build back. We have to build back better. That's what my plan is, to build back better. It's bold, it's practical, and it's focused on building an economy for the future, not for the past.
All righty. Build back better. Now take the politics out of it. Just which one sounds better to you? Make America Great Again or Build Back Better? All right, you're going to be hearing that for the next 3 or 4 months. He went on with a little more about it.
The federal government spends taxpayers' money. We should use it to buy American products and support American jobs. My plan would tighten the rules to make this a reality. These funds will provide reliable, predictable demand for products made by American workers and supply chains like this one right here for the American industries.
We continue with what Donald Trump said. If you remember years ago, 2016, there was a presidential campaign, and President Trump used some of the same words. So the whole question now, is there plagiarism or not? And remember, Biden had a little trouble with plagiarism once before in a presidential campaign. But do these words sound anything like what Joe Biden just said? These words coming in 2016.
Buy American and hire American.
And he repeated that multiple times. Fox News put together a really nice video montage of Trump saying that I don't know how many times. But the Biden economic campaign, which is a pretty big deal because that's really is going to be a stumbling block against Trump and Trump's success with the economy prior to COVID-19. Biden's campaign sounds a whole heck of a lot like the Trump campaign message of 2016. So we're going to see how that plays out. It'll be very interesting. And here's how President Trump felt about it as he left the White House for Florida yesterday afternoon.
He plagiarized from me, but he can never pull it off. He likes plagiarizing. It's a plan that is very radical left, but he said the right things because he's copying what I've done. But the difference is he can't do it.
And when the president got to Florida, he continued on Biden.
Joe Biden and the radical left are trying to impose the same system, socialism plus, in America. Biden is a puppet of Bernie Sanders, AOC, the militant left.
So that's a little taste of what the president had to say, what Joe Biden had to say, and just a sample of what we're going to be hearing as we move forward in the presidential campaign of 2020. It's 6:24. This is the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
When it comes to using data, everyone is different. Which is why Xfinity Mobile created a different kind of wireless network. One that's designed to save you money by letting you design your own data, giving you more choice and control compared to other top wireless carriers. Now you can choose unlimited, shared data, or mixed lines of each and switch any line, anytime. No one else lets you do that. Or automatically connects you to millions of secure Wi-Fi hotspots and the best LTE everywhere else. So no matter where you are, we've got you covered. All while saving up to $400 a year on your wireless bill. Xfinity Mobile. It's wireless reimagined. Call, visit a store, or go to xfinitymobile.com today. Simple. Easy. Awesome. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires residential postpay Xfinity Internet. Actual savings vary and are not guaranteed. For Xfinity Mobile broadband disclosures, visit www.xfinity.com/mobile.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune into WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet Arch Supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together.
The Good Feet Store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Good Feet Store and see what Good Feet Art Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia, a full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try new Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Saturday morning update. We're at 6:27. And, you know, the arrogance of Nancy Pelosi never ceases to amaze me. And how she thinks that she can get away with insulting our intelligence consistently, I don't understand. Here's a shining example. You probably saw the images of a mob toppling the statue of Christopher Columbus in Baltimore. Well, Nancy Pelosi was asked about it, and you listen to her answer, and then we'll talk a little bit about the answer. But here's how she answered the question about the mob toppling the statue in Baltimore in the middle of the night.
The community doesn't want the statue there. The statue shouldn't be there. But I don't care that much about statues.
All right, number one, if the community doesn't want the statue shouldn't be there. Well, it wasn't the community that made the decision. It happened to be a mob that made the decision. And she's like, I don't care about statues, but she's going after a bunch of them at the Capitol. So she does care about statues. It's just selected statues. Fine. Now, she was pressed on the fact that it wasn't a community decision, but that it was a mob decision. She was pressed on that. And listen to the terseness and condescension and arrogance in her, I think, three-word answer.
Shouldn't that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People will do what they do.
People will do what they do. People will do what they do. Ha! Huh. You know, if somebody went out and spray-painted graffiti all over her house, I wonder if she would say, people will do what they do, or toppled statues that she'll have built in her yard one day. It's 6:29. It is the Saturday morning, an update on WMAO. We got so much more to come. We'll be talking with Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times next. Some interesting poll numbers. Things tightening up between Trump and Biden. We've got that coming up for you next. We will talk with Jim Trusty. He is at IFRA Law, and a lot of things going on the legal front this week. And we'll be talking with Jim about the Roger Stone, commutation by President Trump, one of the topics we'll get into with Jim Trusty this morning. And also, we've got Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, John Gizzi on the way, and KT McFarland. So a lot to come on the Saturday morning update.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor to let you know that my good friends at Renter's Warehouse are in heavy demand right now in D.C. for three reasons. One, the rental market is booming. People rent in uncertain times, and homes are getting leased fast. Two, with professional video marketing and self-showing technology, Renter's Warehouse meets all health and safety guidelines for our social distancing world. And three, with regulations changing so quickly, more people are learning that using an experienced property manager is far less stressful than trying to do everything yourself. Now is not the time to DIY or mess with inexperienced property managers. For a low, flat monthly fee, Renter's Warehouse will take the grunt work off your plate with no upfront fees and no paperwork or 3 a.m. maintenance calls. Plus, they can help you turn your part-time rental into a full-time cash flow machine. Go to rwdcnova.com to book your free home rental price analysis today or call 571-489-8134. 571-489-8134. Renter's Warehouse, DC Nova. You'll always have a home with us.
In the news at 6:30, as we mentioned at the top of the show, President Trump has commuted the prison sentence of Roger Stone. The president intervening on Friday in a criminal case that was central to the Russia investigation. The move came just days before Stone was to begin serving a 40-month prison sentence at a prison in Columbus, Georgia, where there is a severe outbreak of coronavirus. Roger Stone was convicted of lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstructing the House investigation into whether Trump's campaign colluded with Russia in 2016. President Trump's efforts to restart his campaign will be slightly delayed. Now, they were anticipating a rally this weekend in New Hampshire, but that Saturday night event in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, has been postponed because a tropical storm is threatening the area. A California couple has agreed to plead guilty to paying $250,000 to get their daughter into the University of Southern California as a fake volleyball recruit. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Boston said in a statement that Diane Blake and Todd Blake will plead guilty in front of a judge at a future date. News outlets previously reported that the Ross, California couple had initially pled not guilty. The couple was accused of tapping William Rick Singer, and he is the one who was the facilitator of those admissions into USC. The university had no comment. Lawyers for the couple have not immediately responded for comment. That tropical storm Fay has weakened into a tropical depression as of this morning. The National Hurricane Center says the depression has maximum sustained winds at 35 miles an hour. It's moving over the state of New York, about 50 miles north of New York City at this time. Tropical storm Fay had closed beaches and flooded shore towns after it made landfall Friday afternoon in New Jersey. The depression is expected to dissipate on Sunday. Tropical storm warning that had been issued from East Rockaway, New York, to Watch Hill, Rhode Island, has been ended. No watches or warnings are any longer in effect for that tropical depression. It's 6:34. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
On the Beltway, the accident on the outer loop of Connecticut Avenue has been moved to the shoulder and no delays as a result of this accident. In Virginia, there is road work to watch out for eastbound on 66 between U.S. 15 at Haymarket and the Prince William Parkway along the left lane and the left center lane. And on the westbound side, right near Business 234, watch out for road work there also along the left side of the roadway. So far, it doesn't look like that's causing any delays. In Maryland, in Laurel, do watch out for road work southbound on Route 1 between North Laurel Road and Oak Street along the left side of the roadway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
The heat wave rolls on today, day number 16 in a row with temperatures in the 90s. Expect highs in the lower 90s this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Some isolated showers could pop up between 1 and 7 o'clock. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. For your Sunday, partly cloudy, not quite as humid. Storms possible late, mainly after 7 o'clock, highs in the lower 90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
75 degrees, 6:35 on the Saturday morning update.
This is a paid advertisement for legal services sponsored by attorney Andrew Van Arsdale, San Diego, California.
I'm attorney Andrew Van Arsdale. If you were sexually abused as a member of the Boy Scouts, please listen up, as this message is for you. The Boy Scouts of America have filed for bankruptcy, which means you must come forward to file a claim before November 16th, or you may lose your right to hold them accountable forever. Call Abuse and Scouting right now for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-849-0325. That's 800-849-0325. 800-849-0325.
It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us every week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times, and it's always great to get your perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Mary Trump's book comes out. She is the niece of Donald Trump. Among the supposed bombshells in the book was that Trump supposedly had somebody else take his SATs for him. Well, the person who supposedly took those SATs for him, he has since passed away. His wife says that he did not meet Donald Trump until Donald Trump was already in college. So the timeline of taking SATs prior to going to college doesn't seem to work out. Sounds like that bombshell has been debunked by the wife of the alleged SAT perpetrator.
Oh, my gosh.
So I just wanted to put that out there because that's one book. And you've got a story on another book, and this is a book about lies, but lies about Trump.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the title of this book will tell you just about everything. It's called The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You, meaning all of the readers out there. This is coming from Town Hall columnist Kurt Schlichter. You may be aware of this gentleman. He has a very rollicking political column and a very smart guy. But anyway, he's making the case that the fans of President Trump are being demonized also by the very hostile news media and all the political critics that just keep going on. And what he has done is compiled the 21 biggest lies. These are the repeat lies that come up in the media time and time again. And they get very wearisome after a while. And this is what he has to say, Mr. Schlichter. He says, lies have always been a part of politics. But today, defamation has replaced actual debate. It's almost quaint to hear someone offer a coherent, thoughtful argument instead of spewing a spray of cheesy slander. When was the last time you heard someone provide a detailed pointed critique of Donald Trump's policies? Not of his character or his alleged personal failings, but his policies. It's been a while, hasn't it? So that's where this book is coming from. I think it's very, very clever, and particularly saying that defamation has replaced debate, because that's very true. And when you do have a lot of repeat lies that get into the feedback loop, that's pretty lazy journalism in itself. And the author himself, he describes his book as, quote, hardcore conservative, pedal to the metal, with no apologies, no excuses, and no mercy. And this has been published by Regnery Books. Again, it's called The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You by Kurt Schlichter.
Let's turn to the polls, because you watch polls and surveys throughout the week. What's the latest on the Biden numbers? There have been a lot of people saying that he is just cruising ahead of Donald Trump. What have you got?
Well, that may be turning into mythology at this point, because I think we're starting to see him wobble in the polls, and I'll tell you why. If you're following Joe Biden's trajectory here, you'll know that a lot of people who are advising him have asked him to move to the left, lurch to the left. And so far, MoveOn.org, and that's kind of the premier progressive group in the United States, they have proclaimed Joe Biden to be the most progressive candidate in Democratic Party history. And now our friend Senator Bernie Sanders, he's also proclaimed Mr. Biden to be the most progressive president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. But the problem with that is that a lot of voters may be pining for kind of Uncle Joe Biden. They're looking for some comfort right now, or they're tired of the Trump White House. Whatever it is, they're not looking for, you know, extremes right now. So let's go to this poll, which may indicate that Biden's lead is getting a little wobbly, and it's coming from The Hill, a Hill-Harris general election poll. And it's revealing that some of his support is beginning to erode. And now we've been told over and over and over again that Biden had a 12 percentage point lead on Trump, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this poll has determined that lead is now down to 4 percentage points.
Whoa.
Okay, 43% of voters said that they would support Mr. Biden for president. 39% opted for Mr. Trump. So it's starting to come down. You know, it used to be 12%, and now it's down to 4%. And according to Hill TV itself, they interviewed Terrence Woodbury. He's a Democratic pollster. And he said, I think a 4 percentage point lead should be very concerning. We know the enthusiasm gaps between Biden and Trump. Trump's supporters being very enthusiastic and insistent on voting for him. These margins are close to being problematic. So a lot of little things at work here, but it suggests that big fat lead is starting to erode.
We've followed Alan Lichtman, a professor at American University, over the years. He's always had a model on predicting who's going to win the presidency. So you have a story about somebody that has a model that uses science?
Yes, indeed, it surely does. And this is a very scientific and smart guy. We're going to talk, this is a science lesson this early in the morning, but we're going to talk about the primary model. This is a political forecast method, and it predicts who's going to win the White House based on primary voting patterns, okay? That's what it's based on. And it was created all the way back in 1996 by Stony Brook University political science professor Helmut Norpus. He applied his model, the primary model, to elections going all the way back to 1912, when the primaries were first established during the course of the White House election. So during all of those elections, the professor found that the primary model correctly predicted the winners in all of those elections dating back to 1912, except for one of them. How about that? So let's take a look at 2016. It predicted then that Donald Trump was going to have an 87% chance of defeating Hillary Clinton. And so you got to wonder, what's going to happen this year? Well, here's what Mr. Norpus told me. The primary model gives Trump a 91% chance of winning in November. This model has picked the winner in all but two elections since 1912, when primaries were introduced, including, of course, Trump's victory in 2016. He says, as for polls showing Trump trailing Joe Biden right now, remember 2016. Polls and poll-related forecasts all handed Clinton a certain victory, but this is not the only failure. And he points to other races, of course, Thomas Dewey in 1948. That's a classic. He also points to Michael Dukakis, Jimmy Carter, John Kerry. And, of course, his primary model predicted all the winners and losers in that. And, again, he says Trump's got a 91% chance of winning in November. Again, that's Helmut Norbrook, Stony Brook University political science professor.
We often talk about the bias in the media against Donald Trump, and there are some costs that come with that bias. How is it being measured?
Well, this is a pretty interesting happenstance here, and we're going to go to our friends over at the Media Research Center. Again, they always do so many interesting stories and analysis on media bias, and sometimes we see the sin of omissions, because if news organizations want to undermine President Trump and his reelection campaign, they simply don't cover his significant events. That's what they do all the time. And some believe this is censoring, some don't. But anyway, Tim Graham, he's the director of media analysis for the Media Research Center. He has a name for this. He says that the news media is literally zeroing Mr. Trump out. And he points to the recent Mount Rushmore speech, certainly a significant speech that the president gave. It was 59 minutes long, okay? So he found out, they gotten timed everything out, and they found out that when Trump stepped up to that microphone at 10:50 p.m. Eastern time, he spoke for 42 minutes. Well, MSNBC gave him 4 minutes, and CNN offered 0 minutes and 0 seconds, okay? That's what kind of coverage he got on that. But Fox News covered the whole thing, start to finish, okay? And so Mr. Graham is primarily pointing out that this sin of omission, just undermining Trump by not covering his significant events, that's kind of a very old trick, but it often works. But here's the kickback in all of that. Fox News, which bothered to show the whole thing, they broke all of the audience records here. They got the greatest ratings of anyone, broadcast, cable network, you name it, on that night. They drew 6.4 million viewers for that coverage. So the takeaway message here is, if you do the whole liberal media bias things, the chances are you may end up with lousy ratings, because that's kind of what happened here between CNN and MSNBC.
Hot topic of the week has been coronavirus and getting back to school this fall. You have one way that that's being looked at.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's interesting that this has become a huge cultural and political moment where everybody is arguing at once. And quite often, the best thing to do is see what's already out there. And probably a lot of people don't realize that Los Angeles County, they have 1 million students. They issued a 44-page guide to reopen their schools in May. They called it Reimagining the Classroom Experience with a Prudent Eye on Health. And their guide, I looked over the whole thing. It was very comprehensive. They're definitely having kids going back to school in the classroom, but, you know, they've done all of these great things with social distancing. They had all kinds of things like an emergency isolation room. And, you know, to their credit, they did something. Well, this week, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they represent 67,000 pediatricians. They are strongly advocating that the goal for all policy considerations, quote, should start with a goal of having students physically present in school. And they cite the importance of in-person learning, which they say is quite well documented. And they also say that this lengthy time away from school and the associated disruption of supportive services like, you know, meals for kids in school, they say that this is taking a toll on children. And I'm sure that all of our listeners out there who either have gone through this themselves or know someone, that it does affect the kids in a bad way. At least according here to the American Academy of Pediatrics, and they say there's learning deficits and childhood depression could result from all of this, and that it would have a substantial impact on physical activity and also in-school meals for those children who need them. They say policymakers should acknowledge that COVID-19 policies are intended to mitigate, not eliminate, the risk. Smart thinking. I'm not an expert, but I found it sort of interesting. If you want to see these things for themselves, they're online. They're worth taking a peek, particularly if you are a teacher or know someone or someone in education. If you want to see the American Academy of Pediatrics, very easy website, aap.org. You want to see the Los Angeles County thing? Interesting. Lots of pictures with that. It's lacoe.edu. That's L.A. County Office of Education, lacoe.edu. And good luck with that. It's a good thing to look at.
Thank you very much, Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. You can follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. You have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend, everyone.
6:48 Saturday morning update. We've got Michelle Murray in the WMAL Traffic Center. Then we'll talk to Jim Trusty.
Accident on the outer loop of the Beltway at Connecticut Avenue moved over to the shoulder. No delays there. In Laurel, keep in mind that on northbound 95 at the Patuxent River Bridge, there is some construction blocking the left lane. They're doing some bridge inspection work, but that is not causing any delays at this time. On 66, you will find some road work traveling westbound between Business 234 and the Prince William Parkway along the right side of the roadway till about 10:30 this morning. And eastbound, there's the road work to watch out for between 15 and Haymarket and the Prince William Parkway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
The heat wave rolls on today, day number 16 in a row with temperatures in the 90s. Expect highs in the lower 90s this afternoon under partly cloudy skies. Some isolated showers could pop up between 1 and 7 o'clock. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the 60s in the suburbs, lower 70s downtown. For your Sunday, partly cloudy, not quite as humid. Storms possible late, mainly after 7 o'clock. Highs in the lower 90s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Leggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
75 degrees in the nation's capital on WMAL. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Thank you very much for joining us. And it's always great to have Jim Trusty join us to get some of the insight into the stories that are involving legal proceedings this week. And there are a number of them around. Jim was a prosecutor for 28 years, most recently as the chief of the organized crime and gang section at the U.S. Department of Justice. He is now in private practice here in Washington at IFRA Law. And Jim, great to have you with us.
Sure. Good morning. Thanks for having me, Rick.
Roger Stone, his sentence commuted by President Trump. We're going to talk with John Gizzi about the political implications, but I wanted to get your take on the legal aspects of, number one, the sentence, and number two, commuting a sentence versus a pardon.
Sure. So over the last few weeks, we've seen Roger Stone's attorney filing motions to push off his self-surrender date at the Bureau of Prisons based on pretty well-founded fears of contracting coronavirus in that prison setting. So that was stretching on, getting denied most of the time. He got a couple of weeks that he was able to push it off. And he was getting ready, I guess, within the next week or so to serve a 40-month sentence. And so I think, you know, things had come to a head from the president's perspective. You've got a, you know, fairly elderly gentleman that's facing a serious amount of time for a relatively low-grade offense, although I think it's different than a garden variety false statement case. And the commutation basically means he still has a conviction. So it's a little different than a pardon. You know, a pardon wipes the slate clean. You have no conviction anymore. You're considered completely free of that criminality. A commutation just means you're not going to serve an executed sentence. So he will not have to serve that 40-month sentence. There's really no appeals or anything else that's going to cloud that. It's an executive function that has no real check on it. And so he's basically done. His case is over.
You mentioned his legal efforts to avoid having to turn himself in and actually enter the prison on July 14th. The Federal Appeals Court panel denied his last-ditch effort, and it was right after that that Trump acted yesterday. It was right after that Federal Appeals Court panel denied the request of Roger Stone and his attorney.
Right. You know, it's a really difficult situation right now for folks that are facing sentencings within the Bureau of Prison. You know, the Attorney General actually issued a memo at the beginning of the coronavirus crisis talking about a couple of specific institutions where he was very concerned that they weren't treating it seriously. The prison atmosphere is absolutely about the worst atmosphere you could come up with for contracting disease. And they've had a very high infection rate across the country with real spikes at a variety of institutions. So it's not crazy for anybody to suggest that coronavirus is essentially waiting for you within the Bureau of Prison. And clearly the president was following this case very closely, knew that that last gasp effort by Roger Stone was unsuccessful to keep him out of prison. And again, whether it's about Roger Stone or about the Mueller team or whatever the motivation for the president, he's got an unchecked ability to do something like the commutation here.
High-profile Supreme Court rulings this week involving President Trump. Two rulings. And in each case, each side seems to have claimed victory on those rulings. And I wanted to get your assessment. Number one, kind of in layman's terms, tell us what those rulings were, what they mean, and was there really a winner, a loser, or is it a tie?
All of the above. How about that for anonymous? No, look, it's really an interesting situation because ultimately in both cases, you waited to the last day of Supreme Court rulings coming out. You think you're going to hear something huge. And in both cases, they were actually remanded to the lower court for more work. So if you're waiting for a triumphant ending in one direction or another based on the Supreme Court, you didn't really get it. But there's a couple of things that I think are important to take away from the cases. And the first one is in the New York District Attorney case, where the district attorney was subpoenaing financial records for President Trump. What happened on Trump's defense was they said he has absolute immunity. He can't be investigated even by state prosecutors, and therefore these subpoenas should be quashed. Well, that did not win the day, and so in some ways that's why President Trump, I guess, feels like he lost this case in some sense. But the 68-page opinion that goes through Aaron Burr, Paula Jones, Richard Nixon, and then finally all the way up to the present day, basically says, look, it's proper for a lower court to figure out whether or not the subpoena is essentially harassing a president who's in office. So it got sent back to the lower court, but it basically is telling the lower court, don't let subpoenas issue lightly against the sitting president. And I think that's actually not a bad ending for him in terms of going forward. On the congressional request, that's got a little different setting. And here's the deal. In a congressional request or a congressional subpoena for decades of financial records, most of the time the court doesn't want to get involved. They don't want to look behind the reasoning. If you give a facially rational basis for the subpoena, the court's going to say, well, that sounds like congressional oversight. But here, if you think about it, there was really just naked partisanship. You had Elijah Cummings saying, we need these financial records to corroborate Michael Cohen. And, you know, corroborating Michael Cohen, you might be better off, like, trying to bring in El Chapo if you're looking for a good witness. I mean, it's really kind of a stunning concession that this is just artificial, that they're just trying to get their hands on the records and publicize them. So, again, normally a court is going to give a lot of deference to Congress and oversight. But here it got sent back down to the lower court with instructions that the lower court properly assess the balance of power between the legislative and executive branches. So that's kind of a message to the lower court that they shouldn't just respect or defer to the facial reasons or the stated reasons of Congress in trying to get this type of information. And then ultimately, if you want to know whether it's a win, a loss, or a tie, I guess in some ways it's a win for President Trump no matter what, because this is going to get tied up in the lower courts and probably make its way back up to higher courts at least past November. So I don't think you're going to have tax records in daylight until sometime after this election no matter what.
All right, let's turn to the very latest in the Michael Flynn case. And this is another one of those where your head just kind of spins. I mean, when you're reading a sentence that the lawyer for the judge filed for an en banc. So we have a judge that's retained an attorney. And what's an en banc? Help us out here, Jim.
All right, well, let's start with the horrible part of this story, which is about 7 days ago, I came on your show and said, I really don't think the judge is going to end up pursuing an en banc. So here we are. He's pursuing an en banc, just like I didn't predict. But the bottom line of it is, you know, the appearance is horrible, right? It's like, again, a judge not wanting to let go with a case where the parties are in agreement that it should be dismissed. An en banc petition, which is where we are right now, is basically saying, I want all 11 circuit judges of the District of Columbia Appeals Court to review the panel's ruling. And the starting point here, which I think is still of some interest, is it takes a majority of those 11 to accept the petition. This is not an appeal of right. So we have to start with seeing whether or not they accept the petition and decide they'll rule on this case en banc. If they do, there'll be a briefing schedule, there'll be oral argument, there'll be a ruling that comes out afterwards, and all the while, General Flynn is kind of twisting in the wind, wondering when his case will ever get dismissed. The one thing I would say in terms of whether it gets accepted or even if it gets accepted and what the argument is, the case law still seems very clear to me that Judge Sullivan has very little to go with here in terms of supporting the notion of him rejecting a motion to dismiss. I mean, it's an executive function. There's a case called Fawkers in D.C. that seems to control it. And so that's really why I'm surprised he took the en banc. I think the court's going to come up with a supportive ruling most likely, but you know, maybe he knows the bench better than I do, so we'll have to wait and see.
What about the cost of tying up an entire bench of 11 circuit judges to review the panel's ruling? I mean, what kind of time are we talking? What does that do to other cases that are maybe a little more important than this one?
You're right. I mean, it's certainly a drain of resources. You've got, you know, time that has to be set aside for briefing, for reviewing briefs, for getting all 11 judges together. I suppose in the coronavirus climate we're in, none of them have, you know, as many active matters as they used to. So it might be something where it's actually a little easier right now to squeeze in than it would be in the normal course of the machine. But again, it's a significant amount of time and resources that goes into this thing, and you know, we all pay for that.
So the media had a heyday when President Trump and Attorney General Barr removed Jeffrey Berman, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. Of course, the Democrats immediately invited him to testify on Capitol Hill. A little more sensationalism for the media. What was the outcome of the testimony, and what do we know about the story behind all of this?
Well, the testimony, if you really read the substance of it, it's pathetically mundane. And to suggest that there was something nefarious going on or that he was mistreated is just laughable. This was an interim appointment. Mr. Berman knew from the beginning he wasn't the permanent employee, but somehow his head grew to disproportionate sizes, and he thought he was too important to let go. When the attorney general met with him, by his own testimony, which is supposed to be a victim story, the attorney general met with him, offered him a promotion to be the assistant attorney general of the civil division at Maine Justice, explained why they were trying to make room for the new U.S. attorney in Southern District of New York, and even talked to him about how it's better to resign than be fired, that it would hurt him professionally. There's really nothing that Berman said that suggests that Barr did anything but act nicely. But somehow, between the narcissism of Manhattan U.S. attorneys and a media that's bent on slamming Barr at every juncture, they've tried to make this out into something that's evil by them. And I guess that's Jerry Nadler's story. And I think the reason for that is because they're preemptively scared about John Durham coming out with a report, or really an indictment, through the attorney general that will probe the Russian investigation origins. The only thing that makes sense is it's just preemptive credibility attacks against Barr because they're so worried about what's to come.
Jim Trustee at IFRA Law here in D.C. Jim, thank you very much. It's 7 o'clock, time for the news, and then we're back with John Gizzi, K.T. McFarland, and Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.